Dub Nation, you're listening to the Warriors Post Up with the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy.
Curry's whipping. Curry will back screen for Butler. The Curry flares out. Goes to the corner. Pump fake. Takes the shot off the dribble. It's good! It's a three! Oh my goodness!
Like I said.
My goodness! Degree of ridiculousness up, off the charts. And I believe Steph has put the headset on. Do you have us there, Mr. Curry?
Yes, sir.
So how was that for a playoff game?
Exactly how you'd expect. Obviously, the first half was super choppy and emotional and physical and text and flagrants and all type of stuff, no flow. But the way we started that third quarter is Warrior basketball, getting stops, keeping the game simple, made that huge run that it almost felt like a little downer towards the end of the third quarter, but then you got to remember we were down 7 at halftime. We did our work, so we were able to withstand some of those runs. And what can you say about Jimmy, BP, Buddy, and then a defensive player of the year, Draymond? They go at him one-on-one down the stretch. He got to stop.
Playing with five fouls, he gets a stop on Şengün. You know, when you look at this game, how important was it for you guys to identify how they're going to get their points?
Well, you have an expectation, but in the playoffs, you kind of have to roll with what's happening. Fred, you know, shot extremely well all night, you know, kept him in it. Then they went to Şengün for a whole half and tried to take advantage of our lack of size and Draymond's foul trouble. So every game is different. We've all been around long enough to know every game has a different kind of character and identity. And the team that can adjust the quickest and stay composed the longest usually gets the dub.
All we needed in that game was more replays.
I know the game started. Said, what time is it?
Good grief. It is 9, almost 10 o'clock.
Yeah. We need to get the baseball pitch count on the refs.
I mean, my goodness gracious. That was unbelievable. Did you guys talk at all at half about trying to start the second half out, getting downhill and getting to the paint at all?
Yeah, but mostly it was just turnovers. They went on a 7-0 run. I dribbled it to the other team twice, threw it to Dylan Brooks once the last like minute and a half, and then you gave them life. So that was a big part of, you know, the run they had in the second quarter. But they played man the first 3 minutes, and then it was pretty much zone the rest of the half. So we got to figure out some of our zone plays if they're going to play their big lineup and try to slow us down that way. But we did soften them up that first 4 minutes of the third, exactly how you said, just taking what was there, and that was drives to the paint.
Yeah, it was interesting. The second half was a battle of zones. You guys were zoning, they were zoning, and I'm going to go home and watch it again because I couldn't get a good feel for what they were doing. It was like a zone that morphed into a man-to-man at certain points. Did you get a good feel for it at all?
It took me to the fourth quarter to see it. Once it was a zone, once I came off, if I got rid of it, whoever was the closest, it kind of turned into a box and one.
Okay.
So very clever. I hadn't really seen that one before. So we'll study the film and figure out some looks. And obviously, Buddy made some great big shots. BP was able to drive the seams. And then, from there, just solid sound basketball and Jimmy, you know, finishing plays down the stretch.
Well, number 30, you had another good night, but more importantly, the Warriors got a win.
Big time win. I just heard RC in my ear. Way to produce the show, big fella.
There you go.
And as always, make sure that you follow our guy on whatever platform it is at Warriors Vox.
Thank you, Steph.
Yes, sir.
Final score 109-106. Warriors with the win.
RC's going to cry back here. He's going to get very emotional.
We're going to have to give him a trophy. He's got to thank everybody connected.
You only give him an orange slice.
We're just so lucky to have number 30 in our lives.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something about me. That's okay.
We know we're lucky to have you when
I'm lucky to be here. This is
fine. Go on the road.
Call games like this.
Yeah.
I'm in it for the long haul. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
You can't say that anymore. I'm here.
Got a flight tomorrow.
You're not getting rid of me.
Oh, God.
I'm there. I am there.
He's like the rash that you love.
That's right. Only the rash that only springs up around playoff time.
3-1. That's what the Warriors are right now in this best of 7 series. A chance to close it out on Wednesday night in Houston. Well, the final was 109-106 in what has been a very entertaining and interesting series so far. A lot of tight games, a lot of tight action now. And Matt Thomas, the voice of the Rockets, has joined us. You made the fatal mistake of coming into our booth.
I was going to wish you guys safe travels, which regardless of the end result, I would have done anyway.
Yeah,
but,
we appreciate that.
Good gracious.
Give me the Rockets' perspective of this series right now, and what do you see?
Well, first of all, I have the unfortunate, terrible memories of the last decade against your squad, whether we were at Oracle or over here. So, you know, Fred and Dylan don't have that. We have that as Rocket supporters and fans. And I just said over and over again, this was never a seven-seed team we were taking on. You guys have been playing exceptional basketball. Jimmy, you knew he was going to come out and do everything he could, and it was the same Jimmy hitting free throws, hitting the mid-range shots. To me, this was a game where the Rockets showed some bravado and didn't give up. The 18-1 start, I mean, most teams would have just ran away and hid, like Miami Heat basically did for the last couple of games in their series. Came back, hit some threes. Fred was very good. Amen Thompson played his best game of the series so far. The Rockets were the worst free throw shooting team in the association all year long. And I had said numerous occasions on my broadcast, you know, I hope this does not come back to bite them. And when you look at a game with, you know, 3 points and the number of free throws that were missed and the number of automatics, when Jimmy goes to free throw line, you guys have seen any better than anybody else, he knocks them down. And so that was a huge component. And I don't want to make one stat that big of a deal, but my goodness, when you're shooting about 55% from the free throw line in the series, it does make a difference.
Oh, it does make, especially with the games being so close.
Yeah.
So.
And Jalen Green, I love Jalen. Great kid. Really, I thought he took a massive step up in terms of his ability to be a consistent 20-point scorer. But with the exception of Game 2, boys, he has just not been found and just wasn't a part of the offense. Hardly played in the third quarter. And during crunch time of tonight's game, Tom, you didn't see him out there either. So.
No. Well, what does he – you see him every game. What does he go to when he needs a bucket?
The crossover. The I'll go against three guys. I'll go get contact. He's a guy that can get to the free throw line 9, 10 times per game. And I felt that was more – I mean, I thought Alpe was significantly more aggressive in the second half of the game than he was at any point in this series, about, especially when you had Jimmy Butler guarding him a couple times. He was able to eat him alive. And I said, if that's the matchup that Golden State's going with, continue to poke at that bear.
Yeah, no, I didn't think the Rockets got enough out of Draymond getting five fouls. Like when he got five fouls instead of really, like, you know, putting the hammer down. I mean, the Warriors came out in the second half and I thought made a concerted effort to get to the paint because they only had 11 field goal attempts in the paint in the first half, 8 points, got to the paint, got themselves rolling. But, I mean, it's just, you know what, and this is far from over because this is much like the T-Wolves-Lakers series where you're down 3-1, but you still have two games at home. And just like the Lakers do, just like the Warriors did when they came back from 3-1 against the Thunder, it's an interesting mix because you go back home and you win that one. Then the other team feels like, well, we have to win this one because we don't want to go to game seven.
We shouldn't be afraid of this building is what I think you're trying to say. And there have been some remarkably close games. There haven't been in the years past or with Oracle. But this is a basketball team that doesn't want to live in the past. This is about making free throws. It was about cutting down their turnovers in the second half, which they did. It was getting more Alpe more involved. It was getting the Amen Thompson that I've seen guys 95% of this season, a guy that just – now, again, never going to be considered a perimeter threat, but inside 10 feet, the Euro step, the little side jump, the dunker spot, he's just about automatic. And if that Amen Thompson comes out to play in game number 5, I think there will be an extension of the series.
Yeah.
I think it'll be fun. I think this has been a fun series.
Every game's been close.
I'm sure I'm glad you guys are having a blast. I'm glad you're really enjoying yourselves. Because I'm not. I'm having a miserable time. I mean, I love your city, but geez.
That is funny. That is funny.
Well, you have a safe flight. We will see you in 2 days.
Can't wait. I kept saying, and I mean, I'm not saying this because I'm on Golden State Network, but I kept saying anybody but the Warriors. Because we've had, you know, hell, we've enjoyed playing Memphis. I mean, look, the rest of it was such a tight race. You guys were watching standings as much as we were. We had no idea. Yeah. You could have been the fourth seed about 3 days beforehand. Yeah. Yeah. You know,
absolutely.
So there was not going to be an easy win no matter what.
And that's the thing. The only really real mismatch in the West was Oklahoma City playing Memphis, and Memphis just drew that one.
Right, right.
That, you know, that would have been a mismatch, I think, for most teams in the West. But everybody else is really in the same boat. They're really the same type of skill level and depth and the whole bit. So I think,
like, Minnesota's not playing like a six seed right now. Ann Edwards is killing it.
Not at all.
Naz Reid, I mean, that would have been a tough out for anybody. I'm going off of just PTSD is what I'm going off of. And I'm having it now.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Well, go back to your hotel room and just enjoy the rest of your evening.
We'll race you to the airport tomorrow. Does that seem fair?
Sounds good.
All right. See you, boys.
Thanks, man.
All right, man.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You, Matt. So Matt Thomas, the voice of the Rockets, does a great job on Rockets Radio, and we appreciate him stopping by. And, wow, just an incredible gutsy performance. I think Jimmy Butler proved, you know, he's worth every bit in this game tonight. Just being the plays he made, you know, making free throws, getting stops, getting rebounds, and clutch rebounds. And, you know, Brandon Pajemski kept the Warriors floating scoring-wise for a long time in this game. And it just was a good playoff game.
I'm looking right now. Buddy Hield had 23 points in the second half, 3 rebounds in the second half, 4 assists in the second
half. How many points did you say in the second half?
23.
He didn't have 23 in the second half. He had 15 for the game.
Jimmy Butler had 23 in the second half. Yeah. I misspoke. I said at the end of the second quarter, I said that's as invisible as Jimmy Butler's been since the Warriors acquired him.
Right.
He wasn't invisible in the second half.
Was not.
He was not invisible in the second half. He came in and put his imprint on that game. But these games have been so close. I mean, a play here, a play there. Warriors could be down 3-1.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what type of series this is right now. And look, Clipper Nuggets have been like that a little bit. Lakers Wolves have been like that a little bit. It's just, can you make the plays at the end of the game when you need to make them? And I thought going into this, that's where the Warriors, I've talked about the shooting, but the Rockets are really good. They're 50% outside the paint tonight. This is their best shooting performance by far, and led mostly by Fred VanVleet. But I said, when they shoot like that, they can beat anybody. So it took a great effort by the Warriors to find a way to get this done. And, again, you just look at the end. They're going to their best guy. You're going to your best defensive guy on him. They couldn't get the switch that they wanted. And I'll take that matchup any day of the week. Any day of the week, even though Şengün had a really nice night, 31 points, it still took him 28 shots to get those 31 points. So that, to me, if he makes it, he makes it. You tip your cap and you go home. You go, hey, your best beat our best. That's fine. But you have your best on him. And that was just, Pajemski was fantastic. The game had swings like you hope playoff games have. It's back and forth. One team has a decent lead. The Warriors come out firing in the third quarter after kind of spitting up their lead at the end of the second quarter. And then it was back and forth and back and forth. It comes down to a final shot. I'll have to ask Steve, you know, did they think about fouling, you know, before VanVleet got to half court? Once he gets to half court with speed, then it starts getting a little dicey at that point, because you don't want him, like, you reach in and all of a sudden he brings the other hand on the ball and goes up for a jump shot and he gets to go to the free throw line 3 times. So, but they force him to take a really tough shot. But this game had a spiciness, a little spiciness, and just a really, really fun playoff basketball game. And the Western Conference basically has been exactly what I thought it was going to be. I don't know if they've gone with the teams that I thought would win the series, but they've been really competitive, really exciting, really compelling TV other than the Thunder, and that one doesn't surprise me at all. But the other three series, man, it's fun to watch.
It's fun to watch. And we, you know, as I said before, I think, you know, other than maybe the 1-8 series in the West, the other three series are going to be survivors. Not necessarily winners, yeah, but survivors, you know, so.
And look, that's why it's imperative, if they can. Like, the Rockets are going to come out with everything. This is going to be a war on Wednesday. And that's going to be a tough one to get down in Houston. But if you can, if you can get it, like a 5-game series early on, those games start adding up.
Yep.
So you're going to have to play somebody else that's really tough next round if you get by this round. And you'd love to wrap it up, get a couple days off, get those legs freshened up again, and get ready for either the Lakers or the Wolves. But they're not done with this, because this isn't like a 3-1 where you're up a 3-1 and you have two home games. You have one more home game, that's it. So you win. Let's say you lose game five. Okay, you're still up 3-2. You're in great shape. But now you feel like this is our must-win game, even though it's not. You kind of feel that way. You're like, oh, I don't want to go back to there for a game seven. Because that's exactly what happened to the Thunder. You know, when Clay had that incredible game six, it's like, all we need to do is get this one. You know, we get five at home. If we can get this one, we'll get him back at our place for seven, and we ain't losing game seven at home. And that's exactly what happened. And, you know, that's both the Lakers and the Rockets are in that boat where they're both down 3-1, but they have two home games. So they're thinking, okay, let's just get five, and then they're going to start feeling a little bit of that pressure in game six. So, look, the way this series has gone, as much fun as it's been to watch, as competitive, as physical as it's been, I can't wait for Game 5 Wednesday.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Going to be a lot of fun. And
the only thing that's not going to be fun is plane ride, but we'll do it, though.
Do we have a choice?
No, we don't.
I don't think we take a boat there, can we? Take a cruise to Houston?
Drake's Passage. Let's go.
I think that might be a little out of the way.
The Panama Canal.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, you have to fire up the Wi-Fi so we can get the game on. We can watch the game while we're flying, down there. Because I think we're going to be there by the time the Clipper game starts. That's 9 o'clock Houston time, so we'll get to watch that one.
Oh, yeah.
But there'll be another game on. So, no, it's just the only – and I'm not going to say this is a bummer, but the only thing, I'm such a sports fan, I like, especially the playoffs, the only thing about working playoff games is you feel like you miss some playoff games because you're working playoff games. I'm like, Laker Wolves are playing like at the same time? What's going on with that? I want to watch that when I get home. So everybody knows me around here. They're like, you taping? Yeah, I'm taping. I'm going to watch it when I get home. So I just think it's I've had a blast. I mean, this last couple weeks watching this has been fun, and this series is right at the forefront of it. So let's go.
Let's go.
Let's do it.